Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, host of Dynasty Game Night. My co-host John Bosch and I created this podcast for one reason, to focus on fun. After all, fun is the reason we all started playing fantasy football in the first place. I love games of all sorts, card games, board games, video games, really any kind of game you can think of. So one day, John and I decided it was time for a podcast where we just play games. You might learn something along the way, but you won't find much hard-hitting analysis here. Check out all the other incredible podcasts DLF has to offer for that sort of thing. On Dynasty Game Night, our primary focus is to entertain. So if you like playing games or watching game shows, this might just be the podcast for you. We'd love for you to give it a listen and play along with the contestants and maybe even win a chance to be on the show.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Ryan Hart.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hi, my name's Shane. This is my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And I have a I have a trading problem.
All of those can be true. They are not mutually exclusive, and we welcome all kinds here. So, speaking of, welcome everybody to session 34 of the Trade Addicts Podcast. As you just heard, we have, I'll coin him, the lovable curmudgeon of the Dynasty community, Shane Manila, with us. So, welcome, Shane.
Hi. I got the curmudgeon part. I don't know about lovable.
Well, lovable in the sense that everybody likes to say really mean things to you as to hope to get a response out of you. Like, I feel like that's what I've learned out of this. I'm in the Dynasty Trades HQ Listener League, and right away, hey, why do you want to join the Listener League? So I could beat Shane. So I could beat Shane at trades. Like, everybody, for some reason, has, like, gravitates towards the idea of just saying and doing mean things to you.
Yeah, I've noticed that also on Twitter, too. Just, like, randomly, people just tweet at me, you're a fraud. And I'm like, I don't even know you, but thanks.
Thanks for listening, man. You know,
have a great day. Yeah, it was funny reading the emails. Everybody's like, I want to kick Shane's ass. I want to find where Shane lives, set his car on fire, and then kick his dog. I'm like, well, that's a little bit much.
That's pretty. Was that Larry Monkey? Is that how he got in?
It was actually Jeremy Broen, which is weird because he's my co-host on the Dynasty Trades HQ, and I thought that was odd.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense if you actually listen to the podcast that he harbors that kind of resentment towards you.
True. So I just want to thank you guys for having me on, and we are going to reciprocate, I hope I said that word correctly, at some point.
Well, we appreciate the supposed reciprocation, but I'm going to get mushy for a second. When I first started of having my own podcast, it was always going to be about trades, and I was trying to figure out what kind of show I wanted to have, and I kind of got the idea for how I wanted to have a show by listening to about four straight episodes of Dynasty Trades HQ. So this is like a very special moment for me right now. Like, they tell you not to meet your heroes, and I think I'm going to learn that lesson pretty soon. I haven't learned it just yet. We'll see how much Shane makes me edit. That's really how much I like him or not by the end of this show.
I got to be honest, you got to aim higher. You definitely need to aim higher.
If I learned one thing from my childhood, it's not to have too high of expectations.
It's good, and then you're never let down. No, man, I appreciate that. We have a good time on the show. You know, we try to throw in some facts that I make up, see if anyone will call me on it, because that's always fun. And then just argue, and I go on rants every once in a while, and Jeremy and Michael are good enough to just deal with that and let me be. Oh, good, he fumbled again.
There was like four fumbles in a row. Yeah, so we're recording during the second half of Monday Night Football, and clearly it's going to be a distraction. Because there was just like six fumbles in a row, and I don't think people even knew where the ball was at one point. Back on topic. What was the topic? We haven't gotten to a topic yet.
We have a topic? Well, here's the topic. I am up, I believe after that fumble, I'm up 22 points on you in the Dynasty Trades HQ Listener League.
I mean, to be fair, I shouldn't have had a chance going in to tonight. But I am only, I think we have the same record, either that or I'm one loss behind you, which is probably going to kick me out of the playoffs. So thanks, Shane.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
Maybe I should kick you off then. But before we get to the point of me kicking you off, why don't you tell these fine listeners, I mean, they should know who you are by now, but, you know, give them your Twitter handle, the show you listen to, even though we said the name six times already, and all the usual info.
Oh, okay. My Twitter handle is at @DFF_Shane. Or you could just go ahead and look at the look for that Shane Says, all one word. I host the Dynasty Trade HQ podcast with my pretend friends, Michael Sipes and Jeremy Brown. We play friends on a podcast. We have a good time. I write for Dynasty Football Factory. I'm actually a co-owner, an editor, a hype man, and basically anything else you can think of. And you can find me on Twitter with my espousing my leftist political views and cursing incessantly, which I will try to limit on your show.
Appreciated.
Now, limit means like 15 F-bombs.
I could handle that, because if it was 16 or more, I don't know what I would do with myself.
Yeah, that's when you get banned by the FCC.
Yeah, because they actually care about our show, because that's how good we are.
I've heard good things about the show. I've never actually listened. It's hard. No, I'm joking. I have listened. I was kind of sad when you missed, I believe it was 2 weeks ago now, and you had a fill-in host. It was a, Jesus, was it James?
Close.
John. Yeah.
John, it was John Hogue.
Yep. Yeah.
Jesus. I'm a terrible.
You had that right, show. No, wait. Real quick, going back, your Twitter, not your handle, whatever the hell your actual name is, Shane Says. Is that for Jane's Addiction, Jane Says? Because that's what I sing every time I see your name.
Very much is, because I'm old. And when that song came out, all the white suburban kids would sing it at me. And I didn't know what the hell they were talking about, because I was still in my down the way phase. So I wasn't listening to Jane's Addiction. But as I got a little older and my musical taste expanded, I said, oh, shit, this song's cool. And I'm going to steal that now.
Nice. All right, good. So I feel like part of the cool kids that I actually understood what you were talking about. All right, but let's get back. So don't fumble. Or that's the same fumble. Okay, I almost freaked out.
Why do they keep giving the ball back to fumble?
All right, so how long have you been playing fantasy football?
Oh, Jesus. So I've actually been playing longer than a lot of people have been alive. I'm not sure of the math on that. So 22 years, going back to my college days.
We've actually had people on this show younger than 22 years. So yeah, so definitely less than longer than some people have been alive. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had Addison Hayes on when you weren't on. So
I
you didn't
say I wouldn't know.
Oh, Brandon. Oh, God damn it, Brandon Cooks. So as I was saying, I've been playing for 22 years now. I go back, like all the old people say, I go back to the days when you used to call your commissioner up and tell him what your lineup was going to be.
Do you remember your first draft? Like, do you remember some of the players?
I don't know if it was my first draft. It's kind of when you get to be this age, everything gets cloudy. But I remember my favorite draft from a long time ago is when I had Donovan McNabb and T.O., and stacked those two together, and I ran roughshod over the league until T.O. Obliterated his leg.
See, it's funny. Donovan McNabb was what taught me that you don't need to be a good real-life quarterback to be good for fantasy football.
This is true.
He was always, sorry, Shane, Eagles, kind of trash, but always scored points. All right, so you've been playing fantasy football forever, apparently. It says here you've only been playing Dynasty for 5 years.
Yeah, so every end of the season, I would get a little sad thinking about the next year and trying to make trades in a redraft league doesn't work when the season ends because you don't have any players anymore.
The league is closed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd start talking about, you know, the next league year sometime around, January 1st.
Yep.
Then, you know, I jumped online and I was like, hey, what's this dynasty thing? I just went full tilt in it. My first year, I think I joined 8 leagues and I was like, I kind of like this. And slowly but surely, I worked my way up to around 40 leagues. Then I was like, this is insane. Got it down to about 29. And then I was like, well, this isn't insane enough. And now I'm back up to about 37 or so.
Man, what's setting your lineups like? I'm in like 23 and it's like half a day's work.
So I wish I could just set my lineup all at once, but it's never that. I start setting my lineups immediately on Tuesdays. Then I'll go ahead and look at some matchups and start making changes on Wednesdays. And same thing with Thursdays, Fridays, just looking at matchups, reading injury reports. You got the ball back. Reading the injury reports, making sure that, you know, I'm not throwing Sammy Watkins in there. It takes some time. Luckily, I have kids that go to bed early and I take a lot of cigarette breaks at work and I have my tablet on me. So.
Well, we started recording 20 minutes late because I do not have kids that go to sleep early. And man, I just sit at my desk with my fantasy football on my computer, but it still seems to take forever.
Well, the secret is get your kids drunk.
Yeah, got to work on that.
Yeah. I mean, well, don't tell anyone though, because you go to jail and stuff. But you know, like, oh, I can't believe they got into the wine again.
I mean, I just moved. I have to find a box. I literally just marked a box booze. I have no idea where we put it. So that's the problem.
Well, your daughter's 3?
Yeah.
Okay. So she doesn't really know how to read booze yet. So she can't get to that box on her own.
And my 5-year-old can read it. He just wouldn't know what he's, ooh, what's this pretty, you know, red stuff with this devil on it? Ooh, it tastes like cinnamon.
Just a disclaimer. We are joking.
Yes, we do not condone, recommend,
advocate children drinking your booze. Booze is expensive. No.
Buy them their own. Seriously.
I kid. We love children. Don't feed them alcohol or even let them drink alcohol. Either of it. None of it.
Moving on from children and alcohol. Not a sentence I thought I'd ever say. All right. Why don't you tell us some of your best and worst trades you have made in your 5 years of Dynasty Fantasy Football?
So, you know, what's funny is I can't remember the best trades because those aren't the ones that stick with me, like inside my soul that I think about forever. But my worst trade, it had to be either my first or second year playing Dynasty. I'm not exactly sure. I don't exactly remember. And it was a Devy League. And I had Zeke and Ezekiel, what's his last name? Elliot, that guy. And I traded him for basically the 1-2, the 1-4, the 1-11, which turned out to be Laquan Treadwell, Josh Doxton, and I don't even remember because it doesn't matter. That was pretty awful. Yeah.
Yeah. And I went all in on that first round also. The amount of Corey Coleman shares I have was just, I haven't let go of them either.
Yeah, that jerk off rushing touchdown. Oh, and he dunked. Wow. Yeah, finger roll because he's a white boy. Yeah, so that was probably the worst trade of all time. Just thinking about giving up a top 5 running back for what is essentially garbage.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, like Treadwell doesn't even get starts in 14-team leagues. Doxton might.
We're in a 16-team league, and he is still not finding that starting lineup.
He is still sitting on the bench in a 16-team league, that's pretty incredible because there's people that would prefer to start a bye over Laquan Treadwell.
Mm-hmm. All right. So do you have any idea on any good trade you've made, or are we just letting everyone think that you do not, in fact, make good trades?
I like to play the role that people want me to play, so I don't make good trades.
There you go. You're like, pretend this is wrestling. You're like the heel. You're Brian, help me out with some bad guys.
Dolph Ziggler.
There you go.
Yeah, he's I have no idea. I haven't watched wrestling in a while. Here's the thing about the trades I make. A lot of times, a lot of people, you know, pan them because I don't typically care what anyone else thinks.
You don't say.
Yeah, yeah, which is funny because I run a trade handle poll, or a, you know, a trade hand, a handle, whatever, a Twitter handle that it's for trade polls. Mm-hmm. And some folks care about them. And generally, I just, you know, I don't. If I want a player, I like a player, I believe in a player, I'm going to trade for the player. I'm not purposely going to try to get, you know, lose a trade, but I don't need the consensus, the room's consensus to say I'm going to make this trade. And you were down 21 points, Mr. Outhouse.
I'm not even going to. You congratulate. I'll concede until I, unless I win, in which case, ha. Huh. But for now, I'm just going to pretend I lost. All right. So consider, I'm assuming not giving a crap what other people think isn't necessarily your guiding principle of trading, though I'm sure it plays in. What would you consider the one thing you're thinking about when evaluating or offering trades?
My biggest guiding principle is just being aggressive. I've noticed with a lot of trades, folks will do half-hearted, weak attempts and just kind of throw out, hey, I updated my trade bait, guys. Go take a look. Mm-hmm. Which I always find kind of lazy. Like, you're the one that wants to make the trade. You go do it. Like, you go look at the other rosters in the league. You should be the one that's looking at the teams, what they need, what you need as their match. If you're in, you know, contending, go rob the other team of some players you need to win you a title, or, you know, give them some younger guys that you don't think are going to pan out. Or even if you do think they're going to pan out, you're willing to give that up for success today. Just be aggressive. And that's one of my laments too, but we'll get there later. But one of my laments is going half-hearted after some players like Aaron Jones. Everybody knew Aaron Jones was going to be a stud. I think everybody. I think that was consensus, right?
Mm-hmm. At least the two of us.
Well, yeah. Okay, well, there you go. It seems like roughly 80% of the fantasy community was in on Aaron Jones. And I made all these half-hearted attempts to acquire him before he came back from his suspension. Like, oh, how about a late first? Well, how about 2 seconds? And if I really wanted him, I should have went harder for him. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get him anywhere. And now he's completely overpriced for me based off, you know, him being awesome.
Yeah, makes sense. And, you know, really what it comes down to is what's the worst thing that could happen if you try a little too hard on a trade offer? Or let's put it the other way. Let's put this the other way around. If you half-ass an offer, like I have multiple times to Shane, the worst that'll happen is he'll send you, man, I wish I could think of what these were. I think you sent me pretty much the equivalent of Laquan Treadwell for AJ Green once because you were unhappy with one of the offers I sent you.
Yeah, I'm not, and people might be surprised at this, I'm actually not a big talker. Like, I'm not one of those guys when they're like, whenever I get a DM from someone and they're like, hey, what are you looking for? Such and such. I'm like, send me an offer. I'm not going to tell you. Like, I'm not going to help you in any way. Like, you know, like, why should I? We're not, you know, like, yes, I want to make a trade happen. But the way I like to do it is you send me an offer. I look at it. I either like it and accept, don't like it and counter, or, you know, really dislike it and then send you some obnoxious offer in return.
Yeah. So again, but
that's reserved for the people that I kind of know.
Oh, nice. So you kind of know me. That makes me feel pretty good about myself.
And kind of like.
Well, we can't get any better than that. So we're going to just end the show right here. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for but that's the end of our little interview session. We're going to move on to the news.
The news.
Still makes me happy when you do that. All right, so we're going to go through this kind of quickly because most of this happened. Actually, some of it happened yesterday. Jimmy Graham broke his thumb and is going to be out a couple of weeks.
No, real quick. Mike McCarthy, raging idiot that he is, did say that Jimmy Graham is going to try to play through a broken thumb, which is, you know, that's fine for someone that catches a football, right? From Aaron Rodgers.
Supposedly blocks.
Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, I still say it's Tunyon season, ladies and gentlemen. Go put in and blow your fab, all of it. I don't even know his first name. Go pick up Tunyon.
It's Robert.
I was really hoping it was like Tom. Like Tom Tunyon.
I was kind of hoping that his entire name was Tunyon. Yeah. Like soccer players. Like that would have been awesome.
Clearly, he is not awesome and not worth a waiver pickup. Just stay away. Stay away. But yeah, nothing else to say about that. Yo, Alex Smith broke his leg for real. And that was gross. Also, has anyone else seen how weirdly coincidental it was between him and Joe Theismann's breaking his leg? Same day, same yard line, same ending score of the game?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty weird.
I'm pretty sure the NFL made this happen.
I mean, if you believed in karma... No, I won't even say that because Alex Smith is a good person.
What has Alex Smith done?
Never
to
mind.
You?
I was going to say that the Washington team is a terrible nickname, but Alex Smith is actually a pretty decent person from everything you read about him. So, yeah, maybe not. It is weird, man. But you know, life is long enough that you end up seeing the same things over and over, I guess.
All right. Moving on from, well, I was about to say to less spooky things, but they signed Mark Sanchez as their backup, and that is pretty scary. So I'm pretty sure, what's the other guy? Colt McCoy, there you go. And Mark Sanchez is also a void. I mean, are you going to go pick up Colt McCoy even in the listener league, assuming he's probably owned already anyway, but.
Like, yeah, he's on the team. The only quarterbacks available are retired ones. You know, if it's a two quarterback start league where you have to start two quarterbacks, I guess I'd have to pick up McCoy. Superflex. I mean, I picked up Brock Osweiler in Superflex leagues. I picked up Mark Barkley. You know, if you're a starting quarterback with a pulse, you're probably going to be a roster add.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't feel good about it.
No, not at all. Like, I'd feel disgusting with myself when I saw that I won that waiver, that bid. I'd be like, oh, I don't like myself.
Instantly try and sell them for a fourth or something. Just get something. No. Just make it go away. All right. Moving on. Marcus Mariota has another elbow injury, and this makes me sad. And really, we have no idea what happened. I don't think so. We have no idea how long he's going to be out. They said it wasn't serious, but who believes coaches anymore? But the real reason I wanted to put this in, what is your feeling, Shane, being a big Corey Davis guy, about him as an asset in Dynasty with whatever the heck is going on with Marcus Mariota?
The problem is, you know, a lot of backup quarterbacks are a steep drop from their starting quarterback, obviously. But Blaine Gabbert is so bad that he salts the earth around him. Nothing is usable. Nothing will grow. And that's what we saw when he was quarterbacking for Corey Davis earlier this year. He had a ton of targets, but the catchable targets were pretty low. And same with Mariota when he couldn't feel his fingers. It's just Davis has kind of been snake bitten with a terrible offensive scheme last year, and then this year a new scheme, and Mariota with nerve damage twice. We were talking off air. Mariota is going to probably after the season end up having some type of surgery where they do whatever they do to nerves to make them not bad, make them good nerves.
That's a good not bad, not nerve bad surgery.
Yeah. I still love Corey Davis. I mean, you watch what he did to the Eagles when he just out and out destroyed them, and you know, it was such a bad feeling because I'm like, oh, I love Corey Davis. Wait, he just beat them in overtime. Damn it, the Eagles. And then what he did to New England, you watch games like that, and the guy is such a physical presence. Like, he can do whatever he wants. Just throw the ball up to him and he'll be fine. So I think long term, Travis Kelce's gonna cut it.
No, how am I ahead of you guys? Oh. What are you watching? That happened
I'm behind
4 seconds ago.
What time zone are you in?
I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, see, in Philadelphia. No, I got nothing. But I still love I love Corey Davis.
Magical land of Philadelphia. It's different.
Definitely, I love Corey Davis. I still think he's got the wide receiver one upside and at worst wide receiver two downside. It's just bad circumstances this year.
Yeah, I like him way too much to fall off of him because of this. So yeah, he's my keep. Spoiler alert, one of them at least. Because I don't care about his quarterback. I think he's awesome. So I'm not moving him.
I just, I got to look at the show sheet. Apparently I was just stealing stuff from people. Okay.
Oh, that's fine. All right. You could talk about it. I'll just pretend like I didn't steal it from you when you weren't looking. All right. But Brian, you have not talked at all this entire time. You talk about the next news thing.
So Kerryon Johnson avoids surgery, which is good news. because he looked pretty good in there before he went out with the injury. So a knee, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's an MCL sprain. So, yeah, I might limit him here for a couple weeks. But, you know, he had 87 yards before he went out on 15 carries and a touchdown. So he was looking pretty good against that Panthers defense. So obviously, anytime you get injured and avoid surgery, that's a very good thing. So, but I guess for a couple of weeks, it's back the Blunt Show.
So I do a Travis Kelce scored. So I do a waiver wire article every Sunday night to come out, you know, Monday, and looking at LeGarrette Blunt's stats, and I assume they would be bad. He rushed so seven times for 1 yard.
So wow. He's so bad. I have him on a best ball league where my other running backs are Chase Edmonds and Amir Abdullah, and most weeks LeGarrette Blunt doesn't make my starting lineup.
He's shunting. He is what's the word I'm looking for? I guess awful, totally
terrible, yeah, atrocious.
He is horrible. They did bring back Zach Zenner last weekend. And I guess Theo will get some run. But yeah, man, that Kerryon Johnson injury was terrible. I think it was the sleeper app alert I got. And I need to turn that off during the games, because as soon as a player goes down, they alert you. Like, Kerryon, Kerryon Johnson's down, writhing in pain. Doesn't look good. I'm like, I don't need, like, don't give me your summary of it, or that's not the word I'm looking for. But, you know, like, they give you like their personal view on it. Like, I think he might be dead. And you're like, no. Just tell me that he got up and he's okay. But yeah, the way it sounded when he first went down, it was frightening.
Are we seeing a switch in offensive identity with the Lions? Is this Kerryon Johnson's team now? Because it seems like Matt Stafford attempts are getting cut in half.
Yeah, they've significantly slowed down their pace. They did this last year, too, under Jim Bob Cooter, where they slowed down the pace of the game, but they didn't have the rushing attack they have now. I think that's what Jim Bob Cooter wants. He wants, you know, to be a running attack. They traded away Golden Tate. Their wide receiver core consists of Kenny Galladay and whatever homeless guys they can find wandering around outside of, is it Ford Stadium still? I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, they definitely want to move to a more run-based attack. It's interesting because, you know, Stafford is a very good quarterback, but, you know, it's fine for me because I have Kerryon Johnson all over the place.
I do not. And I had Marvin Jones. I had Matt Stafford everywhere. Marvin Jones has fallen to pretty much worthless, and I traded away my Matt Stafford. So you do whatever you want, Detroit Lions. It doesn't affect me.
Keep feeding Kenny G, baby.
Well, that, yeah, come on. Kenny G, yeah, baby.
Yeah, I don't have enough of him. I keep trading him away for some reason.
Thank you for that.
Oh, what was that trade? What was that trade? Details.
That was a while back.
Well, it's funny. I actually traded with Trader Joe. I traded him Kerryon Johnson for Kenny Galladay, pretty much. There was a lot of details besides that.
I had a... McCaffrey's a guy I definitely missed on, man. I traded out on him after last season thinking like, all right, now's the time to sell high. Boy, was I wrong.
I had one share, which I got from him, and then traded away anyway, because, man, I have a trading problem. When I just look at a team like, no, I don't like you anymore, and start making trades.
You gave me – you, yeah.
Let's hear it.
So that trade was – you gave me Mike Evans and Kenny Galladay.
Oh, that's right, for
Landry. No, wait. Yeah, for Landry and Mixon. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then you've given in that league, the McCaffrey trade was McCaffrey and Bortles. I gave you McCaffrey and Bortles, and I got Wentz and Aaron Jones.
Oh, I traded away almost everything you gave me. That was fun. That was like a four trade move for me.
Yeah, I remember that.
I really did that mostly just for the fun of it. I probably did not end well with all of that.
It's not sounding like it does. The more details I get on this.
That was also right before the season. It was September 4th, literally the week before the season that we did that, the deal with Wentz and McCaffrey.
And Landry, man, I don't know what the hell happened to Landry. He's getting a ton of targets. It's just he's not. You know, he's not catching them.
I wish I could magically remember who tweeted out what, But someone recently tweeted out the three people who had the most uncatchable targets, and Landry was number two.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, then that might be why. Who was number one? Davis had to be in that top three somewhere.
And I think the other one was Antonio Brown.
Really? Antonio Brown? Huh. Amazing. Oh, Gurley's catching some passes again. Final. Nice.
Well, it's pretty easy when no one's near you.
Well, look, apparently not. I mean, there's lots of guys that drop balls all the time and those around them. Although that was really easy. Yeah, never mind.
All right, back to recording. Even though who knows how little of that I'm going to edit out because I hate editing.
I'd say at least 90% of that was not usable.
Don't matter. All I'm going to do is cut out the silence, leave the rest. So that was the news and notes. We're going to move on to...
Oh, Brandon.
No, he missed it. It's weird. I feel like I'm living in the future from you guys. Like, I know what happens before you do.
Wait, can you play the lottery? Tell me who's going to hit.
I'll tell you right before, just stand at the register. And
all right, cool.
Moving on again. We're on to Make Amends.
Make Amends.
I'm going to go first because I'm rambling already. I'm going to apologize to T.Y. Hilton and anyone who listened to me when I said I was benching T.Y. Hilton. Yeah, Brian's doing the T.Y. and it's usually T.Y. till you die. Sunday, it was T.Y. I'm going to cry. Watching that 40 points on my bench. It wasn't one specific person, but I pretty much played Corey Davis and Amari Cooper over T.Y. Hilton, which they both combined for about maybe 12 to 15 points.
Yeah.
And 40 points. I think I'm going to win, seeing as how many points Mahomes is putting up, but that doesn't take away the hurt in that one league. The other leagues, I was losing anyway, but watch it. Like, if you sat T.Y. because I said, no, you shouldn't. He has a bad matchup. Apparently the Titans did not feel like playing defense on Sunday and apparently couldn't play offense because Mariota can't feel his arm. So that's my make amends. Shane, your turn.
I just, this is just a year long one, Chris Carson. And I guess part of it's because that was the Thursday night game and he looked good again. So I thought Chris Carson would just kind of fall away after about 4 weeks and Rashad Penny would run away with that job. And anyone that would listen, I told them that. And I was very incorrect, very incorrect. The only time Chris Carson isn't dominating the touches in that backfield is when he's injured, which does happen a little more frequently than I would like. But Chris Carson has showed me a lot, man. And he's fun to watch, too. That's the other thing. He's just a little explosion, which might, explain why he's injured all the time or seemingly injured all the time. So Chris Carson, I apologize. You are a much better football player than I thought you were, but you're still going to lose that job to Rashad Penny.
Because why, when you have a guy like Chris Carson, do you spend a first round pick when you have no second round pick on a running back? Why?
Because you're not a well-run organization.
Yeah, that's really the answer.
Well, wait, that was rhetorical, wasn't it?
No, I mean, if you had a real answer, I would have enjoyed it. I mean, that one just hurt my feelings a little bit.
Are you a Seattle fan?
I am.
Oh.
So you really don't listen to the show. All right, that's okay.
That's not true. I do listen to the show. I don't
remember. That's a lot, because I know you listen to like maybe 60 to 70 podcasts, so retaining every little bit of information I know is
I have
impossible.
42 podcasts in my rotation.
That's insane.
Because I don't know why. I'm not really sure.
There's no good reason for that anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
No.
All right. Brian, what are you making amends for?
I'm making amends for Alex Collins. Russ, I know you and I both liked him quite a bit early on in the season and ahead of this season. Sorry, guys. I mean, if the guy doesn't score a touchdown, he literally doesn't have value. So, now he does have seven touchdowns rushing this year, and actually eight total because he has one receiving touchdown as well. But I mean, in 10 games, he's had seven games where he hasn't reached 50 yards rushing, and he hasn't had one game yet So zero on the season where he's over 70 yards rushing. And that's an oof for me and for us. So, so I would like to make amends and apologize for steering anyone towards Alex Collins or anyone towards any Baltimore offensive player in general that isn't Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, that offense is just kind of a mess overall. And, yeah, apologies on Alex Collins.
I'm going to absolve you a little bit of this, I think. I don't know that Alex Collins is actually a bad football player, though. I'm just looking at his touch count on the season, and he really only has one, two. It's fun listening to people count on the podcast. I know he has, I guess, two, what you would call like bell cow days where he had 18 carries and another game he had 19 carries. Mm-hmm. And he did well in fantasy those days. I think it's Harbaugh, man. He's just, he has this thing with Buck Allen where he likes really unathletic, really pedestrian guys, but safe. You know, Buck Allen's safe. He's not typically not going to fumble and things like that. But I'm going to blame Harbaugh more than I would Alex Collins. And I'd go ahead and buy cheap now if I could, because he's going to be a free agent after this year and he could find a role somewhere where a coach might have a little more faith in him. But I could be wrong. Who knows?
I like that. I actually didn't know Collins was going to be a free agent this coming up here. So that's
well, you might want to verify that.
make things up as you go along. If it's right in with our brand, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that was our make amends. Oh, but we need to add in that Shane put on our show sheet, "You suck for not knowing that Gus Edwards would steal his job this week." So, Brian, you should feel bad about that.
Sorry.
There you go.
So what's great about Gus Edwards? Oh, Pat Mahomes just threw another interception for a touchdown. I wish we had Scott Fish scoring in our league, Russ, because you would have lost 6 points. But I'm going to win this game now. So Alex Collins is a restricted free agent after this year.
I can't imagine they're going to hold on to him at this point. They just don't seem to care about him. And I'm sure they'll give Kenneth Dixon his 18th try.
Oh, well, you got to keep trusting Kenneth Dixon, but not Alex Collins.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So Gus Edwards, he's interesting. And Evan Silva tweeted this out last night or something to this effect, that basically he never rushed for more than 750 yards in college. And that was in his final season. Looking up his information, his stats for the waiver wire article today, I noticed like that he has no production in college and he's not very athletic either. He's just kind of big. He's like 239 or 230, I think, 6'1", and he's got decent speed. So he looks like he's fun, though. He looks like he's the type of dude that's just going to run into things and hurt them.
I guess when you have Tymo and Kenneth Dixon and Buck Allen as other three running backs, all you really need is a very large dude to run forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe that fits. All right. Well, to be fair, still. Well, maybe now that Baltimore, if they do start Lamar Jackson, their running game might actually matter. But up until that point, nobody cares anyway, because Baltimore just is a dead zone for offense. All right. But that is our make amends. We're going to move on to our keep trade buy.
Main segment.
Got to start calling it the main segment. So when you say main segment, it actually makes sense. Yeah, you're pointing it. I deserve that finger point. I get it. All right. And
Do you like our soundboard, Shane?
Yeah, it's awesome. Where is it?
You're looking at it.
I love it. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. All right. So since we are gracious hosts and we are very grateful that you are here, Shane, why don't you give us your guys first?
Well, so now I feel bad because
real quick. I think tell people what you wrote on the show sheet first. Well, I spell this out. I put his name in bold and it's underlined. And then underneath that, it says buy, trade, and keep with a spot for him to write in who he's going to talk about. Mm-hmm. No, tell the fine people what you wrote.
So I didn't know if maybe you were looking for just general direction. So I said you should buy good players. You want to trade overrated players and you want to keep great players.
Now that is fantasy football trade advice if I've ever heard it. Should just end both of our shows right now because that's all you need to hear.
Basically.
Yeah. He cracks the code, everybody. It's done.
That's it. No, you know what though, on a serious note, there's been a couple times where I've traded like Odell Beckham Jr. or an Antonio Brown. And looking back on it, you know, not too far after the trade, it's like, wait, why would you do that? Like that doesn't really make any sense, especially in Odell Beckham's case, because he's young. He's still only, what, 26, I think. Like, what are you trading him for? Even if you're rebuilding, like, what are you getting for him that's going to make up for that? Especially rookie picks. Don't do that. I kept getting offers on a Sunday when I was trying to get my kids over to Hebrew school, where this guy kept sending me offers for Brandon Cooks, who's what, like 15 years old. And he just kept sending me like, you know, here's a 2019 and here's a 2021st. Like, why would I do that? Like, my best case scenario is that I hit on one of those guys, and by the time they're his age in 3 years, that they're almost as good as Brandon Cooks. Don't do that.
Are you really trying to do trade deals with their rabbi right before the Hebrew school starts? Is that what's happening?
Basically. But he's very stingy and he wouldn't make the trade with me.
Maybe he'll give you a discount on the high holiday tickets. Those things are getting expensive around here.
Yeah. We already get the discount because of me. Cause I'm not a member of the tribe. So he feels bad for my children because they live with a Gentile.
Never ever turn down pity discounts.
No, I take them all the time.
All right. Steal my guys. Talk about your buys.
So I decided I should put some names down, and then realized that, you had already put them down, but I'm going to put them as a buy. So I'm still buying Corey Davis. Anybody is down on him. Anybody that's looking to sell him now, I'll go ahead and buy. We're getting to that point, you know, before you know it, Jesus, rookie drafts will be creeping up and people will be looking at all of these new shiny things and did he throw another? No, he did not. So they'll be looking at these new shiny receivers that all look nicer than Corey Davis. And
wait, they're calling that a touchdown?
No, that's coming back. That was a forward pass that he tipped. No way that doesn't stand. So I guess someone should have played the Rams defense tonight because they have two
forward passes.
Yeah, that's a forward pass. But I'm still buying Corey Davis. I'm still buying Amari Cooper. There's a lot of hatred towards Mike Evans in the fantasy community too. So I'll buy him. I love Mike Evans. Mike Evans, not Mike Davis.
Yeah, don't like Mike Davis.
Yeah, Mike Davis, he's fine enough. I don't think he's the type of guy you want to be headlining a podcast about, though.
Yeah, I can't even think of a joke about that. There's no, you don't.
No.
Is there anyone you're off of that you are looking to get off your team?
I mean, everyone has a price, right? Except for your building blocks, that those guys shouldn't. Well, obviously Jarvis Landry, but apparently I should be holding on to him because those catchable targets will be going up, right?
They have to be. Their offense seems to be getting better, and I'm a big Baker believer. So I think that offense is going to keep getting better. And again, Landry is however old Odell Beckham is. So they still got plenty of time to grow together, and I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah, and I don't. See, I'm sorry. I did a terrible job of pre-researching the show.
I don't do any research for the show, so it was fun.
Well, there you go. You know, there's no guys that I'm thinking, maybe I'll change my mind after I listen to yours. Ooh, I like Josh Gordon. If I had Josh Gordon on my team, I would trade him immediately.
Yeah, and I think you could actually get something for him now. And honestly, I'd probably buy him off of you. I don't think he's the next Randy Moss or anything, but I think he fits what they want. And if I can get another year out of Tom Brady and Josh Gordon connection, I think that's worth a late first. I would do that.
Man. Oh, you know what? I lied though. I actually am selling guys. Chris Carson.
I know.
I just said that, you know, I apologize to him because I thought he'd be, you know, nothing by now. But I'm still trading him in any league where I'm not contending and someone is contending. I'm going to look to sell him because at some point Rashad Penny is going to take over that backfield. He has to, right?
Yes. I actually did that recently.
He's the more talented player.
Yeah.
And he looks good when he runs. I don't, you know, I've heard some things, some some analysis that you know, he doesn't look good, but he looks good to me when he runs, and he's a receiving threat. So at some point, he's going to take that job.
Yo, bench Pat Mahomes. Just do it.
Another interception?
Close. Yeah. No, not pretty. All right. So clearly,
you want to go ahead and keep any of your underperforming rookie second year players. Any of them. Just any of them. Don't trade Ronald Jones. Don't trade Royce Freeman. You probably shouldn't trade anyone like Rob Gronkowski right now. You're just not going to get the value that you're expecting.
Are you okay with having guys like Gronk die on your bench, though, in that case?
No, this is a case of do as I say, not as I do, because I had 2 shares of Gronk and I sold them hard 2 weeks ago. and was lambasted by everyone that saw the trades. And I said, I just frankly don't give a shit. I don't think he's going to bounce back. I could be wrong, you know, but I don't see his value increasing again. I don't, you know, you hear a lot of noise in New England, might not even want him there after this year. What happens if Brady decides to retire? Cause he is 42, 43, whatever he is. He hasn't looked healthy when he was on the field, and then he just missed the last 2 games with his ever injured back. So I'm not willing to let him die on my roster there. Nope.
That's the word.
Yeah. Nope. Nope. Nope.
All right, Brian, you're being way too quiet. I don't understand what's going on. So why don't you give us your people?
All right. So my bye, I'll start here with Courtland Sutton of the Denver Broncos is a bye for me. And I know he is starting to creep up as far as ADP goes after Demaryius Thomas left Denver or was traded from Denver. You know, he Sutton saw a big jump in terms of his value and where he was being drafted. I believe he's now being drafted in like the 4th round of startups. So, you know, he's starting to creep up quite a bit, but he's still somewhat affordable for me based on what I think he's going to be personally. You know, there's a window here, in my opinion, while Case Keenum is leading this offense, where you should buy. I mean, honestly, all these guys in Denver's offense, I think the skill positions there are not bad players. I think, you know, Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman in the backfield. And really, I love Sutton on the outside. He's a big physical receiver. You know, he's really shown some flashes this season. The stat lines aren't overly impressive. You know, I don't think he's caught more than 3 balls in a game all year.
But he does, some of pretty.
Yeah, I mean, some of the catches he's made are pretty impressive plays. And I just think he's a talented kid. And once they get a quarterback that can actually throw the ball around a little bit. That was another one I missed on so bad, was Keenum this year. Anyways, but yeah, no,
I can't wait to really read, to re-listen to the Bull Take shows and to write down just how much you thought Case Keenum was going to score.
Yeah. Well, I had them signing him to an extension and everything, so it was a mess, but yeah, I really like Courtland Sutton, and I think, you know, he's his price has gone up, but it's still at an affordable place. I think this is a kid that can be another one of these big-bodied, strong, fast, physical wide receivers in the molds of the Demaryius Thomas and Julio Jones. And I'm not saying he's going to be as successful as those guys necessarily. I don't know. I think he has the talent that he possibly could be. So Sutton is my buy. And then moving into my trade, actually, Shane kind of said this also, but Josh Gordon, I'm moving Josh Gordon. Well, first of all, full disclosure, I have 0 Josh Gordon shares and have not had a Josh Gordon share since 2013.
So what happened on Josh Gordon's bye week that all of a sudden made you want to trade away Josh Gordon?
Well, it wasn't the bye week. It's more just in general. I mean, I don't, this is a guy, if I honestly, what made me pull this up is one of the Trade Addicts trades that just happened that we're going to talk about. So I'll save that for later. But okay, seeing the return in that particular deal, I would sell if that's what he's getting. I would do that every day of the week and twice on Sundays. So that's just my personal opinion. Can he stay on the straight and narrow? I hope for his sake that he can. I'm rooting for him too. I mean, you want to see people get their lives together. So I hope he's able to do that. I'm not confident that he's going to be able to do that. But we'll see what happens with it. But for me, I've not had a Josh Gordon share in 5 years. So I'm not big on him anyway. So if I own him now or I've held on to him that whole time, I'm taking this one final opportunity, in my opinion, to cash out on him and get some pretty decent value. So, and then my keep is Alshon Jeffrey. And I'm not sure, Outhouse, but I think you might have done a keep on Jeffrey a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, he's been a keep and a buy. So
yeah. Using, again, we use Trade Addicts League scoring and stuff when we're talking about players on the show. But Jeffrey right now, on a per game basis, because remember he missed a couple weeks early in the season with the injury, but on a per game basis, he's a wide receiver too. He's 24th, the wide receiver 24 right now. So, and that's with some not so hot games over the last 4 weeks. I mean, he hasn't scored more than 9 points over the last 4 weeks. So, I think Jeffrey's a guy that you hang on to. Carson Wentz is not going to perform like he performed yesterday most of the time. And this offense, while they're definitely missing Frank Wright leaving for Indy, I think that they're going to get their stuff together. That offense is going to get their stuff together, especially with, I think it's taken Wentz a little while to get back into the football mode with the injury that he had, and wearing the brace and all of that stuff. So his mobility isn't quite what it was last year. And I think you're seeing that a little bit, but he's going to figure it out. This kid's super talented. And Alshon's his number one wide receiver, and I don't even think it's really that close. I know they just brought Golden Tate in, but Golden Tate's a slot receiver, in my opinion. He's not Alshon's the vertical guy that is, he's running those 15 to 20 yard routes. And he's just a good receiver. He's been playing, earlier in the season, came back from the injury, played real well. Like I said, last couple weeks, not so well. People tend to get frustrated, and it's a what have you done for me lately league. So, and in fantasy, people get frustrated with that as well. So I just think he's a guy that I would hang on to and let Philly kind of work that offense out a little bit. Let Wentz kind of get back into his flow, and then Jeffrey's value will rise again as well. So,
yeah, well, we got an Eagles fan on here. Shane, what's your feeling on Alshon?
Yeah, I'm not concerned about Alshon at all. It's like Brian was saying, it's more a function of the offense just not functioning, actually, or more an issue of the offense itself not functioning. Ertz had a monster game prior to the game against New Orleans, and the Eagles have had a few monster games, but it's been cases where they've been down and throwing a lot at that point, and it's just not your normal offense, or they do things, and I think they do miss Frank Reich a lot, because Doug Peterson seems to forget that the running backs are on the team.
Are there running backs on their team?
There are running backs on the team, and there was actually a Sports Illustrated article. Peter King was embedded with the Saints this week, or the week prior, leading up to the Eagles game, and Sean Payton said, our plan is to make Carson Wentz beat us. And it wasn't a knock on Wentz. It's just, if it's a one-dimensional offense, which the Eagles too often are, they are easy to beat. You look at the best offenses in the league, specifically the Saints, the Rams, and that other team that's playing tonight in red, the Chiefs, they all have not just great passing games, they have great rushing attacks. And those are going to be the best offenses. So just, it's just that the Eagles offense really disjointed all season, really. It's just been one thing after another. The line is decimated with injury. They got a lot of moves they need to make there next year. Missing Alshon for part of this season, missing Wentz for part of the season. You add Golden Tate, who's a playmaker, but he's redundant because he's a slot receiver and you already had him. That's not what you need. What you need is an actual deep threat on this team. And, you know, a guy like DeSean Jackson would have been perfect, even though, you know, Tampa Bay wasn't going to let him go at that point because their cutter's fighting for his job and so was the GM.
I don't think that Jackson Philly reunion was going to happen anyway.
No, I mean, if Tampa Bay would have been out of it sooner, I think they would have made that move. And that's the type of player they need. Someone that can do damage on three receptions. Because, yeah, Alshon all day with the intermediate routes. Zach Ertz can run the intermediate routes. He can run all the underneath stuff, you know. And then you had a – Nelson Aguilar's had a terrible season, but he's a decent slot receiver. So you really didn't – I don't know what Golden Tate brings to the offense that was new. So, no, I love Alshon. Now's a great time to buy him because, yeah, even in Dynasty, just like you said, man, we don't – a lot of times don't go back further than last week to see what happened. And it's funny. We'll be like, oh, well, Alshon only had three catches for 13 yards. Well, Carson Wentz only completed 15 passes for 150 yards. So, on a target share, you know, basis, he did quite well. But, yeah, Brian, and for – full disclosure, I stole Brian's Josh Gordon. I just put that out there. I just completely stole it. It wasn't like we were on the same wavelength.
Don't give him the pleasure of that. Just, you know, you thought your thoughts. He got lucky. He stole it from you. That's what I think it was.
Look, if you're going to be a thief, at least being an honest thief.
All right. So we're going to talk about my guys for now. And I brought a theme to mine. Mine was pretty much, what are you going to do if you're making your run for the championship? You have no real depth to actually make your moves, but you still kind of need to fine tune your team a bit. Because I find myself in this little situation in Trade Addicts 2, where we're going to talk about some trades that our jerky jerk of a friend Mello has been making in... in this ridiculous arms race that Brian started, that Mello apparently has all of this depth to keep trading away and getting all these good players when I have zero depth to actually mess with. So these are the kind of moves I've been thinking of making. So I figured there's got to be someone else in the same situation as me. So I would give you guys some ideas. My buy is Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen, I believe I heard someone on TV say he has 4 touchdowns in the 5 games since he's been back. And tight ends is a dumpster fire, barren wasteland, pick a metaphor, whatever. It's terrible. And if you can get that kind of consistency out of a tight end, you should do it. Also keeping in mind that Greg Olsen is probably going to retire after this year. And so he's not going to cost a lot, shouldn't cost a lot. And he will help your team. Is that Tyreek Hill running into the end zone?
Yes. He just caught a 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah, points. Making that comeback, Shane.
Dude, he's so good. Full disclosure, that's another one, man.
I missed
on Tyreek.
So many people missed on Tyreek that I don't think really need to apologize about it anymore.
At this point, Tyreek, everybody said the same thing. Well, it's not sustainable to score out of those touchdowns from 20 yards out. Well, all right, the guy's an outlier. So if you hit on him, good. I want to see their receipts.
Yeah, so it's like this, the people that say they were on Mahomes. I need proof that you thought that Mahomes was the next coming, and only two people so far have been able to actually prove
Stompy's
it.
Stompy's one.
Stompy and Andrew.
Oh, that's right, Mandrew. Andrew. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, there were two guys that were actually able to prove that they thought Patrick Mahomes was going to be the next, well, I can't really call him like the next Tom Brady because Tom Brady's still playing, but like, you know, the next great thing. But back to my points, because I was talking.
Damn it, Tyreek.
Yeah, seriously, stop being so flashy and good. Go by Greg Olsen. He shouldn't cost you more than a second. If he is, they're trying to rip you off because you're trying to make a championship run. And honestly, like, if you're going to win the championship, what's your first worth? Like, what's the 112? I mean, who cares? Give up your first. Get a third back. That's fine. Or trade them Taylor Gabriel, because that's my trade away. This dude is older than people think. He is super inconsistent, but when he gets points, man, he gets points. Allen Robinson was pretty much taken out of this game, and the slot was wide open for Taylor Gabriel, and he just put up a ton of points, and I think you could take advantage of that. If you find a middling team that, you know, may make the playoffs, you know, dangle a little fool's gold in front of them at Taylor Gabriel and try and get something more solid like Greg Olsen off of them. I think that's a good move right there that probably could get done, because a team that's going to make fifth or sixth place is looking for that splash player. They don't need safe. They need that random magic week to beat that first seed team. So I think that's a very good trade that could happen, and you should go and offer that and be aggressive like we learned from Shane earlier, making that a circle, bringing it all around. My keeps, Corey Davis and Amari. Because again, you're on a team, you're competing, and you have these young guys that, I mean, I have these two guys on a team, and I've been going back and forth in my brain thinking, should I offer these guys for top edge? Like, I mean, I don't know if that even gets me Hopkins, but like, some, like, am I going to offer them for Tyreek Hill? Which apparently at this game, I probably should have done it before tonight. But besides the point, like, don't. Because chances are you're going to want to keep winning after this year, even if you do win. Corey Davis and Amari Cooper will help you win in the future. Corey Davis, we've been saying since the beginning of this recording, and probably before we started recording, Corey Davis is awesome and will be awesome. Amari Cooper, I mean, I think if you've heard Shane's voice before, you've heard him say good things about Amari Cooper. In the Listener League, people try to jump up to draft Amari Cooper just so they could then trade him to Shane. that actually happened. Yeah, I actually had that conversation with Sipes because I almost drafted him and I almost made the trade. I'm like, I'm deciding between two people. All right, no, I'm not going to draft someone just to trade him to Shane. And then I took Allen Robinson, so that really didn't even work out too well for me right now either. But he's not on my team anyway because it's the trade HQ, and that's what we do. We trade. But those are my buys, trades, and keeps. I said all of those guys. We gave you great advice. That's what you're here for. That's what we give you. So let's move on to our Trade Addicts trades.
Trade Addicts trades.
Now, I made reference to this before, that both of these trades are Trade Addicts 2 trades, and both of these are freaking Mello beefing up his team. If you're Trade Addicts 2 and you're listening, stop giving him good players. I'm sick and tired of it. I yell at him to stop getting good players and he doesn't listen. So
you know what's gonna happen in this league, right?
He's gonna win and I'm gonna cry.
Well, so there's four. So there's two teams in each division. We have 2 6-team divisions, and there's two teams in each division that are or have had a lot of success. So you're the only team out of the four of us that's losing because you're playing Mello this week. I didn't say that.
Oh, he has Mahomes, doesn't he? No, he doesn't. Joe has Mahomes.
He has
Trade X 3.
He has Goff. He has Goff.
Oh, yeah, I'm screwed anyway. That's fine.
So you'll be 9-2. You'll be 9-2. Alex will be 9-2 in your division. And then Mello's 10-1, and I'm 9-2 in my division. Mm-hmm. But here's what's going to happen.
That right? Fifth he's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry is 6-4 right now. I don't know if he's I haven't looked at scores in a little bit to see what he's doing today, but he's going to end up coming in. Jerry or Allen, one of the two of them is going to end up winning the whole thing. They're going to go 3 rounds in the playoffs and beat the big boys and win the thing.
If that happens,
we're all going to be so upset.
No, I'm not going to be upset because I'm just shutting the league down.
The four of us have been by far in points. We're literally all four of us are 100 points clear of the fifth place team.
All right. So listen, Trade Addicts 2. If you want this league to continue, let me win. I don't care. I have no pride. You could bench your players and I will still celebrate. Don't care.
That's a good those are good guys in that league, and it's fun. Is that chat is hilarious too, because we do try to talk. We try to talk some in that chat, talk some crap, and
yeah, and that's the days where I end up losing. So, all right, so let's get on to these trades.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trade Addicts Leagues, 12 teams, super flex, PPR, tight end premium with small points for return yards. We have our first trade, which one of you mentioned. Well, they looked ahead, so I'm going to have to say it's Brian looking ahead and not actually Shane actually looking at the rest of the show sheet. We have a later 2019 first and a late 2019 third. I think we're at the point where we can say what's early and what's late, at least ish.
Yes.
I think that starts to play in. So this is going to be a late to mid 2019 first, a late 19 third for Josh Gordon. And I was a little surprised on Twitter. This was 67% for the picks, 33% for Gordon. I would pay this if I'm competing. Because like I said, I don't think he's the next Randy Moss, but he seems to be a very dependable wide receiver too, with Josh Gordon upside. And Brian, you...
What? This game is insane.
This is maybe the greatest football game I've ever seen.
It really is a great... It's really a crazy game.
Why is their defense being... Oh, he just took that ball away.
Yes. Yes. Straps, strip sack, fumble, touchdown. I
from the two.
Amazing.
9-point swing right there.
That's fine. I hope Kansas City continues to score on defense as long as Mahomes doesn't get the ball.
I want the Rams to win this game.
I don't care who wins.
Helps the Steelers out a little bit. Maybe. Anyways.
All right. What are we talking about?
I like that Josh Gordon side. Same thing. If you're going for the title, I'm fine with giving up a first rounder for him. And, you know, if I don't trust Gordon, as soon as the season's over, then I'll flip him for, you know, get that first back.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like now I've always struggled with this part of the show. Like, do I put narrative in here at all, or do we keep it pure in a vacuum? I think this time of year, you have to put narrative into these, because especially once you could start saying what's early, what's late, why you're spending it makes such a difference. I mean, on its own, maybe this is a little bit of an overpay for Josh Gordon, but if I could have Josh Gordon as my wide receiver 4 for a playoff run, I think that's money for a late third and a late first. So at least for now, for the next few weeks, I'm calling in the narrative street and I'm taking Josh Gordon on this.
Yeah, I'm taking the picks. I mean, I think it is. I definitely think it's narrative. I mean, if you're going for a championship and you absolutely need a receiver with some pretty nice upside, maybe for the rest of the season, then I can definitely see where somebody would do that for Josh Gordon. So I think you're exactly right, Russ. I think it's you have to bring narrative into it at this time of year.
Yeah, but also good for. I mean, if you're rebuilding, getting a first and a third is great value.
Absolutely.
I mean, this was a perfectly good trade on both sides, but I mean, I only say it from that vantage point because you guys were talking about selling Josh Gordon, and we need some disconnect on this podcast because we agree way too much. So I feel like I needed to argue with you about something.
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, you buy Gordon now and just, I don't like Gordon long-term. I don't trust him long-term. I'll flip him as soon as the season's over, get my first right back. Because I know there's at least one Josh Gordon truther in every league.
That is probably very true.
Yeah, so you're basically renting Gordon for a third round pick.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, that's, you know, I would probably do that too.
Yeah, you just need him to stay clean basically between now and
week 16.
Exactly.
Yep.
Because who cares about week 17? If your fantasy league is playing on week 17, just quit right now. I don't care if you're making the playoffs. I don't care if you're undefeated. Just say, no, I'm not in this league anymore. And walk out.
Delete the account. Yeah. Just delete whatever account it goes to. Like block it, block the emails, all the notifications.
That should not be happening. Yeah.
And I would delete the phone numbers of anyone I'm in the league with.
Yeah. Break ties. Unfriend them on Facebook, block them on Twitter, anything. Report them even. Block and report it.
Yeah, report them. See something, say something.
Yeah, for real. You're doing a favor for everyone else in the finance.
You know what you could do? You could call the authorities and be like, I heard they let their kids drink.
Yeah. Who would? What kind of monster would talk about kids and alcohol?
Exactly.
That's disgusting.
This game is awesome. This game is so awesome. Yeah, Robert Woods just caught like a 45-yard pass where he had to come back to the ball and lay out to catch it, and he caught it at like the 5.
I don't know if he caught it though, man. They got up there pretty quick.
Yeah, well, yeah, it doesn't matter now. I'm not sure he did either, but
it's
close. That's not getting through it over. They called it.
Nah.
All right, our next trade, our last trade is. This is what this one made me angry because it's just like, I have crap. You're going to take your crap. You're going to take this stuff and give me good things. Tyrod Taylor, Jalen Richard, Kendrick Bourne, and a mid-19 first for Philip Lindsay. Now, okay, the mid-19 first is nice. The rest of it's just like, bleh, and Philip Lindsay for Philip Lindsay. But what I really wanted to point out about this was well over a month ago at this point, I did 2 Philip Lindsay trades in one night. I traded in a non-tight end premium David Njoku for Philip Lindsay. And then you, Brian, I traded a 2020 first for Philip Lindsay.
Yep.
And I got very mean things to me said on Twitter about me doing those trades. I kind of want to put those polls back up and see how they would fare now. Because I don't know if anybody saw Philip Lindsay doing this well for this long, but it's working. And I am...
What? Why Gerald are you Everett. In the air?
I played him this week in a league.
You played Gerald Everett on purpose.
I actually
like Gerald Everett.
Thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. It's just he doesn't get enough targets, but man, he could be an end zone threat. I tell you what. Hey, you tell him, Sean.
God, this game is awesome.
Sean McVay is one good looking man, right? Is that part of the reason that we all like him? Is because he's so good looking?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Miles, and you're just like, man, you're a genius.
All right, so I need Mahomes to stop throwing touchdowns. I need him to just stop.
Well, you're not so worried about our game, are you?
Dude, you're only down like 6.
Go, Mahomes!
It's ridiculous. Brandon Cooks is apparently in witness protection now.
Yeah, Gerald Everett, you keep catching footballs.
So,
yeah, podcast. So this is another competing slash rebuilding trade.
Wait, which side's rebuilding? The one that got all the junk?
Yeah.
And the first?
Yeah, this is pretty much a first for Philip Lindsay. And I would not be surprised to see Jalen Richard flipped before, you know, the season ends. Just because trade addicts and all.
Well, that, and if he's rebuilding, I mean, trade Jalen Richard for, hopefully you can get a second for him from someone, especially if Doug Martin misses any time. Because he's decent, you know, PPR.
Which we are. And then, yeah, I'm pretty dead at depth for running backs, so I'm probably going to go after that before I post this and he says, he hears me say I want him. But, you know, just like really, Philip Lindsay is really kind of what I want to talk about in this one, because I'm angry at Philip Lindsay because I have a lot of Royce Freeman shares. And I thought Royce Freeman was going to be good. I don't know if I thought he was going to be a workhorse by any means, but I didn't think he was going to be the bottom half of a 1-2 punch.
No.
He doesn't even seem to be that.
No.
Yeah, which makes me sad. Which, you know, if you are expecting the players you drafted in the rookie draft to help you win this season, you're probably playing a little bit wrong, short of those... I almost said generational talent in a serious manner, because that's one of the worst phrases out nowadays. But unless you have the Zeke or Baquan kind of guys, you really aren't depending on these rookie picks to do anything for you. So, which is also why Shane said, don't sell your disappointing draft picks, because give them time. You need to incubate them. Just warm them. Let them develop. Have a taxi squad on your team. Let them sit there. But yeah, Philip Lindsay, which I think is where I started with all of this. I don't know. I went down a weird hole on that one. This was a good piece. He's a guy I would recommend going after, because I tweeted out the other day, which may have been yesterday, but days melt together after a while. If there is a full head coach or full coaching staff turnover in Denver, Are we 100% sure that Philip Lindsay is safe?
Based on his play, I would think so.
But like, I remember like Jordan Howard is the only one that's sticking in my brain, and all the 16 Rams running backs that kept disappearing after running for 1,000 yards. Like, we were Jordan Howard had 2 years of being statistically amazing and scoring all these fantasy points. Of course, he's going to still be a workhorse back, and nope. And it's not like Lindsay's a workhorse back now that we think he's going to retain that, but. I mean, there's zero invested in the guy. What's stopping a coach from just being like, no, you don't cost us any money and you're not my guy. I'm going to go get Duke Johnson and, you know, replace him, you with him.
Well, he's a better, okay. So Duke Johnson's never really had an opportunity to show at the NFL level if he's a good running back, not a receiving back, but just watching Lindsay, he doesn't seem like the type of guy that a new coach would come in and say, I got to get rid of. He seems like a grinder, a worker. Like, this is a guy that basically came from a made up college that none of us have ever heard of, and took the job from a third round draft pick. He started at the bottom of the totem pole, behind probably Devontae Booker, and then worked his way up and took that job. And he's versatile. I mean, the guy can catch. I think they even split him out wide at some point yesterday. And he's a good running back. There's no reason to get rid of him. Him and Freeman can be a very good 1-2 punch. It's just that, unfortunately, Freeman is, yes, it's more like 1A and then like 1Z at this point.
Brian, what are your feelings on Philip Lindsay?
Yeah, I mean, for me, this deal, it does kind of come down to I think the guy that traded away Lindsay got decent enough value if there's other moves made. You know, the mid first comes in, like Shane was saying, hopefully you can get maybe a second, later second for Rashard. And Tyrod Taylor, while he's currently not playing anywhere, he'll get another shot.
He is a free agent at the end of the year.
I mean, he will get another shot. There are quarterbacks starting in this league that aren't as talented as Tyrod Taylor. So I think you'll get another shot. I really do. And quarterbacks in super flex leagues are, you know, if you have a pulse, you have some value. So, you know, I think the value is good enough. I think if you have to, I wouldn't do this deal. If I was the Lindsay owner, I wouldn't do this deal if I wasn't in total rebuild.
Yeah, I'm too lazy to look up the other team.
The kid's been good. I mean, he's been really good. And, you know, Russ, you were saying about him not necessarily being a bell cow. I mean, he doesn't need to be. He's producing on limited touches, too. It doesn't matter whether he has 18 carries. You know, then he produces on 18 carries. If he has 12, he produces on 12. He also catches the ball at least 3 or 4 times a game. So, you know, I worry about his durability because he's a little guy. He's 5'8", like 190. So he's a little guy. I do worry about durability, but he's producing right now. And again, for a contender that's looking for somebody they can insert in their lineup, I have no problem. I mean, if I own Lindsay, are you not starting him? You're definitely starting him, probably, right?
I've started him every league that I own him in. He's started every week outside of week one and whatever bye week they had.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I think I would lean towards the Lindsay side in this deal, just in general. But again, I think there's enough value on the other side for a team's rebuilding that I understand why the deal was made. It makes sense.
Yeah, I know. I'm just annoyed they happened.
I look back at our deal, and in one way, I would like to have him right now. But I look at those 2020 players and what that class could be to.
And I'm just putting okay. Because like just said that because as a why the hell not? Like,
yeah,
we're talking about it. Let's do an on the air trade.
Yep.
And like we didn't even really think about the consequences of our actions. We're just like, whatever.
Yep.
No, I think I want to get into this one of these Trade Addict leagues with you. If anyone bows out,
we'll we're They're accepting awesome. Applications. We'll file them away for monetary rides. Donations. Also, yep. will be kind of like you always say: if you're not a patron, we hate you.
Yeah, exactly. Michael doesn't cut that out. Good, good. I want my true feelings known.
Yes, I'm going to open up a Patreon account for considerations into the Trade Addicts Leagues of the future.
Hey, I like it. What do you have at least two, right?
Four of them.
You have four of them. Oh, man.
Yeah, I got way too overzealous. I created four this year.
No, man, I like it. I'm going to definitely submit an application, and we'll see how that goes.
Just reach out to my secretary. She'll take your information. All right. Well, on that note, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. This was a good one, Brian. You stayed a little too quiet for my likings. I think
it's like 2 weeks. That's like 2 weeks in a row you've said that. So
you were very quiet. Very quiet.
Yeah. I'm going to have to talk over you some or something.
Seriously. I mean, I talk over you all the time. I don't understand why you don't just.
All the time.
Excuse me. I was talking. You weren't supposed to just jump in right there.
But I thought that's how it works, right? You're just supposed to start talking whenever you feel like it.
I think there's like a rule book for podcasting, and then there's like Shane's rule book for podcasting, and it's on fire.
Oh, I'm going to steal that. I'm going to use that as my own.
So, yeah, I think we can say this was a good show. Maybe it's because Brian wasn't talking too much. I'm not sure. We'll have to run that by our, what the hell do you call the people when you put them in a room?
Producer? Prisoners, hostages.
Where the hell's your brain?
No, not hostages. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
The research focus group. There you go.
That
focus group to see if people just don't like it when Brian talks. Stop watching the game.
Such a good game.
That's the problem, man. Is you, this episode is taking place during maybe the greatest football game of all time, except for the Eagles Super Bowl win over New England. But regular season game, this might be the greatest regular season game I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean,
so I was also, this is off topic too. So if you want me to say this for off the air, we can do that. So Scott Fishbowl, right? I was down by, I started the night down 50, more than that, like 60 some points. No, it can't be 60. I mean, it was like 50 points, and I am within 8, and I have Jared. I have Jared Goff going.
So you, any so I need like this game I need, can do that.
I need like one touchdown pass that's like 30 yards and 30 yards passing in the last 6 minutes
for a touchdown
to get first points. Prefer that he not.
We need Mahomes to score a touchdown right here. Goff can do it. Don't die. Did you say don't die?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You'll watch Mahomes in a second.
Oh, yeah. That was close.
That was an interesting run. That's like, I'm trying to blow out my ACL here.
Right? Yeah. And it was like a wild man run at the end with the ball in his hand like that.
Yeah, I was praying for a fumble right there. But
I was praying that it somehow fell out of his hands in a forward motion and scored a touchdown, even though that was well past the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I don't know that he could have gotten any credit for that. Let me see. So the one league I was down 111 points coming into this tonight. Let's see how I'm doing now. Who's that? Oh, doesn't count. Coming back.
Wow. They just lost a trick play on that timeout.
Who called the timeout there?
The Rams.
Oh, gotcha. That's a good use of a timeout there.
See, we're giving the listeners our play-by-play here. This is good. This is good stuff.
Oh no, yeah, I'm sure they're enjoying this since they already know what happened. Like idiots, yeah. What is wrong with you people? So, all right. So, I'm not going to pull out this league. I was down by 111, and I'm still down by 52. But still not fair,
that's still a pretty good comeback.
That's a decent. It's like when I looked at the score yesterday, I didn't realize that I had three guys going, and I'm like, how did I score 50 points? Like what? that can't be right. And then Goff played his part. Kareem Hunt did his part. Robert Woods severely let me down with just 15 points so far tonight.
Here it is, fourth down.
Oh, is it fourth down? All right. I need you to fumble here, Mahomes. Just fumble again. Or an interception. Throw it away. Throw it away. Throw it away. Just do a Derek Carr. God damn it. Damn it. Zeus is good.
Yeah.
No, you're pointing the wrong way, Kels.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And oh, he's pointing at Mahomes. I thought maybe he had a concussion. Yeah. Oh, we're horrible people.
It's the truth.
Oh, wait. How do you say goodbye on this show? What do you do? I forget. Oh,
I figure we'll do that in a second because I'm just busy watching this show. That was almost some good points.
Just hit poise. All right, poise. Pause.
I mean, dude, I'm editing all of this out. If you got to pee, just go pee.
Yeah, just go pee.
Yeah, I can't leave because of the game.
Dude, I'm sure you finished a bottle. Just
turn the TV up really loud.
I'm sure your wife and kid will be fine with that.
No, that's fine. Kids love being woken in the middle of the night to screams.
How many times she wake you up in the middle of the night? It's time for some vengeance.
Exactly. Who's 84? Like, literally everyone except
Demetrius Pass. It's awesome that you have the exact same response I do, but it's just 3 seconds later.
I say they lost it down. Mahomes is no longer allowed to throw the ball.
Yeah, just Mahomes is ejected.
Yes. but I didn't do anything. Just get out. I can't even look at you, Mahomes. Personal foul. Oh, Jesus Christ. Give the ball to Kareem Hunt. I can deal with the Kareem Hunt touchdown.
I mean, would a touchdown even give me the win anyway? No, I'm down by 7.
So, yeah. So, what do we get? 4-point touchdowns?
Yeah. I'm not going to get enough.
At this I don't know, dude. I'm not good with math.
If he runs it in, I'm good.
This is the best game of the year. I'm up 7.15.
Oh, that's a touchdown.
Oh, wide open. Jesus Christ. Chris Conley having the game of his career. 50 to what? Jesus Christ.
This has to be the highest scoring game.
The line was the highest ever, right? And it was what, 65?
Yeah, it was only the 60s.
Yeah, they scored 97 points. Oh, my God. Patrick Mahomes has... That can't be right.
It's not updating.
Right. Yeah, so I was going to say, it can't be right. How many touchdowns? 5? No, he has 6 now, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think that was his 6th touchdown. Maybe. Yeah, because this does 305. Yeah, so he has 6 touchdowns. Are you kidding me? How fucking good is he? Yeah, I'm up by 3. So if they get the ball back, there's no way that he's they're going to be throwing.
Unless,
of course, the Rams score in 13 seconds, which is pretty liable to happen at this point.
Yeah, but you know it'll end up being Cooks anyway, so. Because he's disappeared this entire time until now.
Yeah, he just, 16 points, but I don't understand the scoring in the HQ league. I'm not going to lie to you. I have not
even bothered looking it up because I don't understand it.
It doesn't make any sense. Anytime I look at it, I'm like, wait, he has 6 receptions for 85 yards, right? So that's 14.5 in most leagues, right?
Is there points per first down? Is that what this is? It's like, is it like half PBR, half point for?
Because the math never adds up.
I never look.
Yeah, I have because, you know, you have points worked out in your head. So yeah, then you go look at the player and you're like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I look at points that people have scored in the league and that's how I base trades. I don't even try and like think of how many catches.
It's just funny because.
Right, here we go. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So 247 left. All right. Jared Goff can still get me a win, right? God damn it. I'm down by 9 in this league. 10.
He's beating me by 3 after Mahomes scored that touchdown.
6 touchdowns.
So I need Mahomes to get the ball back and throw another touchdown.
I hope Jared Goff hits on a deep pass right here.
Robert, immediately. There's at least 4 more touchdowns left in this game.
This is incredible. It really is nuts.
Like, usually I don't stay out even this late on a Monday night.
Nope.
Well, because the game's over, 40 minutes ago.
Right.
But I wouldn't have gone to bed anyway, even if we weren't taping. There's no way you can't watch this game.
Wait, no, he can't fumble. They need to score.
Russ, I need you to – you got to stop making the noises.
Yeah. Stop.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Live in the now, guys.
We can't. We literally can't. We have
literally
affiliates.
Considering you have carry on. Why would I trade for Riddick when I'm 3 and –
Jeez, Mahomes has 6 TDs again.
Yes. Was that the second time this year?
Yeah. He had 6 against the Steelers, too.
Oh, no.
Oh!
Well, 2 years, Big Ben had back-to-back six touchdown games, didn't
he? Oh, that's right. Oh,
that's yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. In one of the years...
Colts and somebody else.
In one of the years... Wasn't it last year he did that?
Was it last year or that was the year before?
It might have been. I don't know. I don't remember. Why would I trade for Reddick considering you have carry on? Dude, I'm 3-8. No. Thanks. I'll pass.
Well, there's a cooked catch.
Oh, good. I just need them to run out the clock on themselves.
Well, they need a touchdown. It's not even like they can get into field goal position and run the clock and kick the last second field goal.
Why are they rushing so bad? Oh, they have no timeouts. Okay. All right.
Yeah, but he got out of bounds, right? So does the
clock they're still running the line. No.
It's outside the 2 minute warning. Oh, it's inside 5 minutes. It does.
Yeah, it's so the clock stops. So why are they rushing up there? Whatever.
Oh, he got out. He saved a second. No, don't drop that.
Bad call. Bad call, ref.
All right. Okay. 2 minute warning. We should probably wrap this shit up.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm just going to start the whole thing over. All right. Well, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. Man, I already did the. I think this was a good one. I think we'll wait. No, they put it back to 201. Damn it.
Nice.
Nice.
This game is never going to end. I'm going to lose, but I don't even care.
Somehow they're going to score 4 points, and this is going to overtime.
If not, there's two safeties somehow. Like, what? How did they get two safeties?
He only gets 1 foot in the end zone, but they don't. So they don't want the game to end. So they only give him part of the touchdown points.
throw the ball to Todd Gurley. He's not even on the field, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Give it to Gurley. I throw it. All right, whatever.
Oh, what a catch.
Yeah.
You got that. Yes, sir.
Look at Higbee. They don't need Cooper Kupp. They got some other white guy. All right, it's the 2 minute warning.
There you go. Okay. All right, I'm not saying that shit again. All right. All right, well, you know, we're done. We're done talking. We're at the 2 minute warning. Man, I think we actually did our first wrap up of the show maybe 15 minutes ago, but we just kept watching the football game and getting distracted. But we're going to end now before the game comes back on from the 2 minute warning in the fastest voice possible without stuttering, without forgetting your Twitter handle. Tell these people where they can find you, Shane.
At DFF underscore Shane.
Yay. All right. The Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. If you're listening to my show and not listening to that show, good for you, man. You chose us. But go listen to their show also. I said in the beginning of the show, if I could even remember what I said in the beginning of the show at this point, they were a huge inspiration in me creating this. Their show was awesome. They are hilarious. And actually, one of my biggest problems with a lot of the trade shows out there is that the values they give are in a world of their own where you're like, there's no way that happens in the real world. Trades HQ was the first show where it was relatable. And that's really kind of, to me, what matters in a trade show. So go check out DFF, Dynasty Football Factory, and all of their wonderful stuff that Shane is apparently has his hands in. And go listen to the podcast, which he sometimes talks in, which he was a wonderful guest on his own show on Friday. And they talk about me. So definitely go listen to at least last Friday's.
Two Fridays in a row. Yeah, yeah. Two episodes in a row.
Ah, crap, the game's back. So the game's back. So we're going to say goodbye. So, I mean, we're not going to sleep or anything.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod. And follow our hosts at Dynasty House and at Brian Hart. Please remember to subscribe to Trade Addicts.